Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them up to the 133rd Psalm. I'm going to read all three verses for our scripture reading tonight. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here, for this time that we've set aside to open the Word of God and hear it preached. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, you'd be in our midst tonight. You'd be with the one who speaks as well as the one who listens. And that you would speak in our hearts, each one of our hearts and our minds. Remind us of how good unity is and how good it is what we have. And then, Father, help us to protect it. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night they decide to receive Him. And other decisions that might be made tonight, Father, I pray that that the Holy Spirit would deal with those folks as well. And you would accomplish everything that you want to accomplish tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to just spend a couple minutes and tell you why I'm preaching what I'm going to preach tonight. A couple different things. You know, last week was our big day, and one of the things that I enjoy when we have something like that is just sort of sitting back and see how people work together. I try not to be obvious about it because I want to be a part of it, but I just sort of like to sit back and watch the ladies that are working in the kitchen as they get the food all ready and prepare it. And then I like to just watch and see who talks to each other and who eats with each other. And I always try to look out and make sure there's nobody eating by themselves, that somebody's always, you know, there talking to them. And I enjoyed watching last week as different people sat down and began to talk to one another. And then after we were done eating and we started cleaning up, I always, again, try to be a part of it, but I always like to watch, and it always blesses my heart to see how many people want to get involved in cleaning up the food and taking down the tables and taking down the chairs and things like that. And Andrew and I were in the underneath the choir putting chairs away last week, and this psalm came to my mind. The first verse of this psalm, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And as I was driving home last Sunday, Sunday afternoon, I remembered a sermon. And those of you that have been here at least for 3 years will remember this sermon, because I preached this, if you got a good memory, I preached this sermon 3 years ago. In fact, I looked in my notes when I got home last Sunday, and it was actually the first Sunday in March of 2001 that I preached this sermon. But let me tell you how I got to preaching it tonight. Last Sunday afternoon, Jessica's typing up all my sermon notes, putting them on the computer. I said, Jessica, I'd like you to pull this sermon out for me. I just want to see. I remember it was about how good and pleasant unity was, but I can't remember what my points were. And so she took her a few minutes, and really it was the first time to test the system to see if we could find something. But it took her a couple minutes, but she pulled it up, and she gave me a copy of the sermon, so I stuck it in my Bible, and I carried it with me all week. I went to Jackson this week, Jackson, Mississippi, for the whole week, and I just read it. Just read it a couple different times as I was as I did my Bible readings. It was in my Bible, and so I just went over it, and I sort of, you know, sometimes I know I'm not supposed to do this, but sometimes when God feels leading me to do something, I sort of argue with Him just to make sure that He wants me to do it. I don't preach sermons twice as a usual course. In fact, there's only been a handful of times in the last 6 or 7 years that I've preached a sermon for the second time. And so I always like to make sure that God wants me to do it before I do it. And even up until last night, we were still debating. I think he already had his mind made up, but I was still waiting for something for him to tell me, hey, I want you to go ahead and preach that sermon again. And so I was sitting around talking to Debbie last night. I got a little situation. I mentioned it to Sam before the service about a personnel director in Texas that we're having some problems with. And I had to call him last night, and I said, I don't want you to come to work tomorrow. Or I don't want you to come to work on Monday. He had threatened the plant manager. And I said, I just want you to stay home until I can get into it on Monday and figure out what's going on. And Debbie heard me talking on the phone, and she said, well, what's going on? And I sort of told her the story. She says, that's in Texas, right? And I said, yeah. She says, well, you better be careful, you know, because they can carry guns in Texas. I said, well, how do you know that? I always like to know where she gets these tidbits of information. And she said, well, I read it somewhere that they can carry guns in Texas. They don't. It's real easy to get a license, and a lot of people carry guns. I said, well, that's why I told them to stay home, because if they were having an altercation, I didn't want anybody to get hurt. She said, well, did you see that thing that happened in Florida? I said, what thing is that? So she goes and she pulls out this clipping. I think she got it on the internet. Maybe some of you saw it. It happened down in Florida at a convalescent home, where there were a group of people in line for dinner. And there was one of the older gentlemen in his 90s that was sort of playing around in the salad bar, in the lettuce. And the guy behind him, who was 86, I think, said, look, nobody wants to eat that lettuce after you've played around in it. And the guy that was playing around in the lettuce turned around and says, why don't you just mind your own business? And to make a long story short, the two of them got into an altercation there at the salad bar. Now, the daughter of the one who was playing around in the salad bar, who was 70-something, was also a resident of the home, and she came up to help her father, and in the fracas that ensued, was pushed down and broke her arm on the floor. And there, and I won't take time to tell you the whole story, but she broke her arm. Another guy had to go and get stitches in his head. Another guy had his arm cut. And this was all over some lettuce at the salad bar. And I said, thank you, Lord. That sort of just clears the way for me to preach this sermon about unity. Not because we're having any problem. In fact, Brother Clint and I were talking this morning after church about how good the Spirit is and how everybody's getting along. And so we don't have any problems that I know of tonight. And if we do, don't tell me. I'd like to find out those things on my own. But we need to enjoy what God gives us. We need to protect what God gives us. Now, the other thing that happened this week that again brought me back to this message is, you know, Monday was the first of the month, and I started started reading the Bible over again, and I had a long plane ride on Monday, so I got to read Genesis and Exodus as I was flying down to Mississippi, and I came to Exodus chapter 30, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 30 tonight, because we're going to be looking at several of the scriptures that really answer the question that I want to pose to you tonight. We read there from Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then in verse 2 it said, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Talking about the anointing oil that Aaron was anointed with when he became the high priest. And in Exodus chapter 30, we're going to read about that oil. Now here's my question tonight. Here's the question I want you to think about. Here's the question that I want to help you answer in my message. How is unity like the anointing oil that ran down upon Aaron's beard and then down his skirt? How is unity like that oil that he was anointed with by Moses at the instruction of God that set him aside to be the high priest? How is unity like that? And tonight I want to share a three-part answer to that question. Again, to get you to be thankful for what God has given us and to get you to be vigilant to protect it. Okay? To be thankful and to be vigilant. How is unity like that oil? Three reasons. Number one, the oil was concocted by God. Look at Exodus chapter 30, beginning in verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. So there God gave Moses the recipe for this oil. There God gave Moses the ingredients that was to go into this oil. There were 500 shekels of myrrh, 500 shekels of cassia, half so much, or 250 shekels of cinnamon and calamus, and a hine of olive oil. And God told Moses, he said, I want you to mix it up like an apothecary, somebody that mixes perfume, somebody that mixes medicine back in that day, and I want you to make a holy ointment that will be used to anoint Aaron. Now, and we'll read about that in a minute. I want you to notice tonight that that was not something that Moses thought up. I mean, God didn't say to Moses, hey, Moses, we need something to anoint Aaron. Why don't you go out and you get some spices and put them all together and you come up with an anointing oil. He didn't leave it to Moses. He didn't say, Moses, why don't you just try mixing some things together and by trial and error, I will tell you when you get to where I want you to get. No, God specifically gave Moses the instructions and said, here's the ingredients. I've devised the ingredients. I've devised the recipe. Here's what I want you to put together. Mix it all together, and you will have this ointment, this oil that I want you to have to be that holy anointing oil. I want you to notice tonight that unity in a church is concocted by God. Unity in a church is given by God. Unity in a church, in fact, the church itself, and again, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the called out assembly of Christians that make up a church. And I want to remind you tonight that it is God that has brought us together. I mean, if we were gonna write down the recipe of this church tonight, of the unity of this church, we'd go up and down the aisles and name each person, each family, each member of this church, and we would say, look, we didn't decide to come together ourselves. It was God that brought us together. He's the one that mixes us up and puts us together and forms His church. Say, oh, well, no, Brother Darrell, that's not exactly the way it worked. I decided to come here myself. And yes, I know that all of us had a part in that decision to come ourselves, but who do you think led us? And who do you think gave us the clearance to come? Many of you I've talked to before you've joined, and we've prayed together about you coming, and I say this to many, many people that come to talk to me about joining the church. I say, if God's leading you to come, then you come, because you won't be happy any place else that you go if God's leading you here. But if God is not leading you here, then go someplace else. Not that we don't want you, but I want you to be in the church that God wants you to be in. You see, in the book of Corinthians, the Bible talks about different gifts that God gives to Christians. And I don't have time tonight to talk about the gifts. That's not the point of my message. The point of my message is that when God puts a church together, He knows the gifts that different people have, and He joins us together so that we can use those gifts together and accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. I mean, he for example, he knew how many shekels of this spice, and he knew how many shekels of this spice. He knew that when he put it all together, it would be exactly what it was supposed to be. I used to watch my grandmother make biscuits. And if you take the ingredients of biscuits and try to eat them by themselves, it's not very good. They're not very good. I mean, in fact, I never did like raw biscuit dough. Maybe it was because she told me I'd get worms if I ate it. I don't know. But I never did like it. But I liked it when she put it all together and put it in the oven and it was cooked and it came out and you put that hot butter on it and molasses or honey, and boy, was that good. I want to point something out to you tonight. That's exactly what God does to us. He puts us together, and then how does he mold us together? He puts us through the heat. He puts us through the heat. And so when we, as a church family, David, like you did this week, when you lost your mom, that God was using, and I know you two are still deciding about whether you're going to join tonight, join the church or not, but I'm going to use you as an example. It's situations like that that God uses to draw people together. It's situations like that that God uses to strengthen our relationship with one another. That passage in Corinthians talks about, hey, we're different parts. It compares the church to a body and says, look, a body has different parts, but God has brought them all together. And he's put us together. And he said, when one part, it says in that passage, when one part of the body gets glory, all parts of the body gets glory. And he says, when one part of the body hurts, all parts of the body hurts. Now that's true physically. You know, when you stub your toe, it's not your toe hurts, your whole body hurts. When you have a headache, it's just not your head. Your whole body hurts. That's the way it ought to be in a church. When one person hurts, we all hurt. And God uses situations like that to bring us together and to strengthen our relationship with one another so that we can be, as a church, what He wants us to be. I saw, and you've probably seen it too, an illustration. And it was four letters. C-H, C-H. And there were two blanks in the middle. C-H, blank, blank, C-H. And the question underneath it is, what's missing? You are. That's exactly right. Church, C-H, blank, blank, C-H. What's missing? You are. You are. See, when God... Look... You would think I was really weird tonight if I was missing an arm. I mean, I had it this morning, right? I wouldn't come to church tonight and leave my arm at home. I mean, if I was missing one of my ears, I had both of them this morning. You know, and that's how God looks at us as a church. He's brought us together, the whole body. I mean, look, if Moses would have said, hey, you know what? I'm running a little bit short on cinnamon. Instead of putting 250 shekels in, I think I'll only put 200. Would that have made the oil that God wanted made? No. No. Moses had to have it all. He had to have in the right proportion. And I want to tell you tonight, just like Moses, God is in the apothecary business, and He brings us together, knowing the gifts that we have. He molds us together, mixes us together, like Moses mixed all those spices together. He mixes us together, molds us together, and makes us into the body that God wants us to be. Now, again, I'm going to use a silly illustration, but I'm trying to make a point. What if the cinnamon would have said to the calamus, hey, I don't like being in this pot with you. What do you think? It would have been some pretty bad oil, wouldn't it? I mean, if the different parts, and I can't remember all the names of the spices, but what if the cassia had said to the myrrh, I like being in a pot with you. I mean, I think Moses would have said, hey, listen, God's decided that he's going to put you together to make up this oil. It doesn't matter what you think. If you're going to be obedient to God, you need to get in a pot together and get mixed up together. Now, in the same way, if God has put us together in this place, knowing the gifts that we have, knowing that it's going to take us all to get the job done that he wants us to do, then don't be upset that you're in the pot with the person sitting next to you. May not sound very good, but it's good preaching. I mean, and let me just say it straight out. If God doesn't want you to be here, then leave. Because you're never going to be happy and you're going to make it miserable for the rest of us. But if God wants you here, then get all the way in the pot. Let him stir us together. Let him mold us together. And let's go and do what God wants us to do. So it was God that concocted this oil and mixed it all together. Just like unity. Number two, the oil was used by God. Look at verse 26 there in Exodus chapter 30. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now, I want you to notice what this oil was used for. Just about every piece of furniture in the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was that tent that God had Moses make to be their church house, so to speak. Just about every piece of furniture that God had Moses make, that God gave Moses the pattern for up on Mount Sinai, that they built in Exodus chapter 30, God says, I want you to take this oil and I want you to use it to anoint every piece of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, the altar for the burnt offerings, the table of incense, the candles, all the dishes that are used in the different sacrifices. I want you to use that oil to set apart, to sanctify, to make holy, however you want to say it, these pieces of furniture that I am going to use in my service. Now, I will tell you tonight that God uses unity to do the same thing. God uses church unity, first of all, to get people saved. He uses church unity to get the gospel out. We sang this morning, there's a call comes ringing over the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. A church that is unified, a church that is getting along, a church that is together is going to be more able to send the light, to represent Christ, not only in their community, but to the world, than a church that doesn't get along is fussing with one another. Just is. I mean, it just is. The more unity we have as a church, the more we're getting along, the more we're pulling the rope together, the more people that we'll be able to point to Jesus and get them saved. But let me take it to the next step. And again, I want you to see the picture. I didn't make up this picture. God made up this picture. He said, hey, unity, it's sweet and it's pleasant. It's good and pleasant. And it's like this oil. Now, this oil was used to anoint every piece of furniture in the temple. This oil was used to set that piece of furniture apart for the service of God. I mean, we don't have all the furniture in here tonight, but there was the Ark of the Covenant. That little box where the mercy seat was on top of, and where the two angels spread their wings over that, where the presence of God met with the people. That oil was used to sanctify that. Then there was the altar where they offered the blood sacrifices every day. And that oil was used to sanctify that altar, to set it apart for God's use. The table where the showbread sat, where the high priest put the showbread every day. The oil was used to sanctify that, to set it apart for God to use. The candlesticks that provided the light, the lavers, every piece of furniture in the temple, again, I know I'm repeating myself, but I want to make a point, was used by that oil to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be used by God in His service. Church unity does the same thing. Because God uses that to strengthen us, to sanctify us, to set us apart to be used by God. Now just stop and think. This is common sense, folks. Common sense. In which kind of church is a Christian going to grow more? In a church that's getting along or a church that's not? And that's right, brother. In a church that's getting along. I mean, if we're fighting and fussing, and again, I don't know of any problems, and again, please don't tell me if we're having problems. I'm not preaching this message to try to address something. I'm preaching this message to get you enjoy, to get you to enjoy what we have and to protect it. But we are going to grow more as Christians. We are going to be better prepared to serve God. We are going to find ourselves being set aside more to serve God. The more we are getting along from one another, the more we are encouraging one another, the more we are teaching one another, the more we are praying for one another, the more we are fellowshipping with one another, the more we are doing that, the more God has the ability to sanctify us, just like He did with that oil on those pieces of furniture, to set us apart for the service that God has for each one of us. That's what He uses. I mean, just think about, like we talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning. And I hope, Brian, that you don't have any nightmares at your house tonight. And I hope Corey and Aaron, because I had Andrew lay his head down on the table. He said, "Let me show you what this lady did." And Andrew laid his head, and I took my pen out. And I said, she took a big hammer, and she had this stake that was about 3 foot long. And she, with one... Right, Hannah? I'm telling the truth, right? With one swing, she drove that nail right through Sisera's head. And I don't know what that has to do with the message, but I hope you don't have nightmares at your house tonight. Where was I, Brother Clint? I don't even remember. Oh, look. God has a purpose for every single one of us. I mean, He has a task that He wants us to do. We've been given gifts. And God has put us in this place for those gifts to grow, for those gifts to develop, for us to be set apart to be used by Him. And again, He uses our unity to do that. He uses our unity that... Oh, I remember where I was going. Encouragement. Well, about our Sunday school lesson this morning. Our encouragement of one another. The things that we say, the things that we do, the different things that keep us encouraged. That we need that encouragement to grow. We need that encouragement to keep going sometimes when we want to quit. We need that encouragement to press on when the times get hard. And God uses that encouragement that comes from you that do that to sanctify me, to sanctify others, to say, "Hey, look, I know it's hard right now, but keep going. You're going to be stronger as a result of this, and God can use you stronger." And that's what unity does. It's used by God to make us into what we need to be. And then, number three. Again, I'm trying to help you answer the question. How is unity like this oil? It's like it because God concocted it. It's like it because God uses it. And number three, it's like it because there ain't nothing else like it. Okay? Look at verse 31. "And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger shall even be cut off from his people." What God was telling Moses was, look, here's the ingredients for this oil. Here's what I want you to use it for. And I don't want you to use it for anything else, nor do I want you to make any... I don't want people to make any oil like it. I don't want you to go home and make it to use as perfume. I don't want you to go home and use it and make any like it. What God was saying, I've concocted this oil. I have a purpose for it. And there's nothing like it anywhere else. Now here's my third point tonight. There's nothing in the world like being a part of a church that's unified. Nothing in the world like being a part of a church where people love one another. Nothing in the world like being part of a church where people serve each other. Nothing in the world like being part of a church where people realize that we're human beings and we're forgiving and not easily offended. Brother Clint and I were talking about that first verse that we learned, Psalm 119, 165. And Leonard, I never learned it in Hillbilly, so I got to say it in the King James. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I was with six people all this week. People that I work with, people that I visit with at least once a month. We have a lot of things in common. Our future is entwined together, so to speak, because I will only win if they win. But I want to tell you what, even though we went out to eat together, even though we fellowship together, I've told you a couple of them are Christians, and we even had devotions together a couple days. And I enjoyed that. But I tell you what, I missed being here Wednesday night a whole bunch. A whole bunch. It just wasn't the same. I was glad to see my mom and dad last week, and it's only the second time this year that I've got to see them. I haven't seen my brother since Christmas. I haven't seen any of my cousins since last November when one of them came for that motorcycle deal we had. And I love my family. But I tell you what, I spend more time with you than I do them. And the fellowship that we enjoy here is sweet and good. It's wonderful to be parts of different organizations. You have a common purpose, a common goal. But I'll be honest with you, there's nothing like being a part of a church that's in unity. You see, and I don't belong to any clubs. I don't belong to any groups. I mean, I don't hold any memberships. I don't even go to the ministerial association, although they keep inviting me to come. I don't go to any of those things. I mean, my life is wrapped up at home and here and work. And I put that third. Home and here and work. I'll tell you what, though. If I ever have to go to the hospital, I'm not going to call somebody from work and say, "Would you come over and pray with me?" Debbie will be there because she has to. But I will call somebody from here and say, "Would you come and pray with me?" If I get into some kind of trouble and I need some advice, I may call my dad. But I'll tell you what, there's four or five people here that I'll come to and seek their advice about knowing what to do. And here's my point. We're all parts of different groups. We all have different associations. But what we have in this place is sweet and good, and as the Bible says, pleasant. Let's not take it for granted. Let's just grab hold of it and squeeze it just like you're squeezing an orange trying to get all the juice out of you can. Let's just grab hold of it and squeeze it and say, "God, I want every bit of this good and pleasant thing called unity that you have for me. I don't want to miss a single drop of it. I want every single bit of it." And let's enjoy it. And then let's protect it. Let's keep thanking God for it, and let's keep asking God to give it to us. Because it comes from Him. Hey, look, we're just a bunch of saved sinners. We still have that old nature that we have to fight with every single day. And if we were left to ourselves, none of us could get along. But thank God He's given us the Holy Spirit, that new man that lives inside of every one of us. And our spirits commune with one another. And we enjoy that good and pleasant unity that David talked about in the Psalms. Like that precious oil that was poured on Aaron's head, ran down his beard, and on his robe, that God concocted, that God uses, that God says, there ain't nothing like it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this reminder tonight of what you've given us. It's such a blessedness to be part of a church where we get along, where we love one another, where we're in unity. And I know it comes from you. And I thank you for it, Father. And I ask you to protect it. I ask you to help us protect it. I ask you to help us to let the Holy Spirit control us. And we would do things that would promote that unity and make it grow. Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that's not saved, they have no idea what I'm talking about. They have no idea what it is to be part of the family of God. And tonight, I pray that you'd help them see their sins. You'd help them see that it's that sin that's separating them from you and separating from a church family. And I pray tonight that they would see Jesus as He hung on Calvary, as He shed His blood and His body was broken to pay for that sin, as He came up out of the grave 3 days, 3 nights later, defeating death and purchasing salvation. And I pray tonight they'd make that decision to receive Christ. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. If we need to make a decision tonight, make it clear to us. Help us to do it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.